and now W. M. Bishop.
Well, Paul is, of course, a writer of the 1 Corinthians, and we read about in the book of Acts concerning the work of Paul in Corinth. Actually, the 18th chapter there covers most of this work here that we're going to be talking about, a lot of it. Of course, like I said, not the history part, but some of the work that Paul done as recorded in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. Corinth, Paul had been at Athens, Greece. He had, and he preached there. You know, they had the many gods that was established there. And Paul, he preached there for a period of time. And he didn't have too good a success there at Athens, Greece. But he did have some success there. And he lived there, though, and come down kind of southeast to Corinth, ancient Corinth, and began a work there. And actually, it's about 46 or 47 miles, somewhere in that range, from where Paul was and Athens to Greece, and began his work there. And it is said that the Apostle Paul there, in preaching and teaching there, had a pretty tough time, but he had a lot of success there, really, in Corinth. But Paul, after being there for a year and a half, we find that recorded in Acts 18th chapter, of course. And he left there, and he went to Ephesus and stayed there with the church there for a period of time. I think it was 3 years, if my memory serves me correctly. But Athens, Greece, Corinth, rather, it is said to be the crossroads of a metropolitan area. And it's about 500,000 people lived there at the time Paul was preaching there, and that's a lot of people. It was, history says it was really a hustle and a bustling type of city, big metropolitan city, and a lot of people there, and had a lot of marketplaces there in Athens, Greece. They had markets of all kinds set up there. They had fruit markets, if you will, and they had meat markets, and just anything that you wanted to buy that you could pick up there at Corinth. And it is said to be the crossroads of the world, some of the history historians have said. And it's really located kind of right on the Aegean Sea, if you will, where the Aegean Sea comes down like this, kind of, and they're kind of sitting in a nuke right there. And the Aegean Sea would be to the east, and the Mediterranean Sea then would be to the west, at least a part of it. And as I said, there's about 44 miles from where Paul was at in Athens. Had a lot of ship trade would come into the port there. Had about three different ports there, really, at Corinth. Not all right there in one area, but 7, 8, 10 miles apart. And they had ship goods pretty much all over the world, really. And, of course, the ship-going vehicles or ships at that time was not like the modern ships we have today, and they had to be very, very careful when they could go out, because the Mediterranean Sea gets pretty rough sometimes, and they have to be very, very careful. And these ships made of wood, and the sails are not able to take the roughness of the sea as the ships we have today. But anyway, there's a lot of trade went on there. As I said, there was markets of all kind, anything you wanted to buy, it just said it could be bought there in Corinth. Oh, ancient Corinth, they say in that city of Corinth, they say there's a bluff 1,800 feet high. Huge, high bluff. And they say that you can get up on top of that bluff and you can see the Aegean Sea to the east. You see the Mediterranean Sea, the part of it to the west, and down in the valley part is where all the marketplaces was. And at this time, of course, the old Corinth is burned, and there's nothing really left except just burned in ashes and nothing going on there, really, at the old Corinth. So there's been a lot of archaeology done, a lot of work there. In fact, they have had the judgment seat there of Galileo had this judgment seat there. They said that had been found, it had been discovered, and they have that somewhere. I don't know exactly where it is, but... And also there in the old city of Corinth, there's a lintel, I guess you would call it, an archway lintel, they said has been discovered. And it had the inscriptions on that, the synagogue of the Hebrews. So that's something else that's very interesting. And, of course, they're still working in that area at the present time. And they have found also, archaeologists have, flutes of instruments they have discovered there. And they have those also. So it's really a place that we can relate to. But it's, as I said, it's laying in ruins today. And nothing really... going on there at this time. Yeah, archaeologists are very protective of the area they work in order to, of course, scavengers, if you could call it, they would come in and rob the place and got to have control. And, of course, I'm satisfied that's true. And I say, too, at that time, Paul was preaching there that they built a highway, not probably like we know of today, but it ran through Corinth and on up into Rome. Highways to Rome, it says. Also a major land highway from Rome, the capital city of the empire of Ephesus, the capital of Asia, led through Corinth. So they did have this travel there. And I said there too, really, they had marketplaces set up, and they had these shambles, and they had everything that anyone would want to buy as far as foods and things of this nature, according to history. And also, it is said that they would come there, people would come there, and they would have all kinds of entertainment there. And, of course, there's a lot of things went on there we probably will get into that shouldn't have been there, but it's really something to read and study about that. It said it was a boom town. It was called one place. It was called a boom town. It had a population of 500,000 people. Almost anything anyone in the world could purchase in the shops. The capital of Providence, Lacaille, was a place where people came to have a good time. So it's still pretty much that pattern, I think, pretty much today, really. In these large cities, it's everything that's going on there, we should, receive a good lesson from that. See what happened to those people. And where is that today? And, of course, how these large cities like Atlanta, maybe in California, and Los Angeles, places like that. And just about anything goes would go there. And they said also this bench I mentioned a while ago, this judgment seat there, said it's probably one that Paul had Gallio had tried Paul, and they probably used that bench there. I don't know for sure, but it's speculation that it could have been. In the center, of the city was a marketplace, which we talked about this just a few minutes ago. From the marketplace, the connection with agriculture grown for a market has come, an inscription which tells us that the shambles of Corinthians. Give a scripture reading there about that. And I'd like for someone to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 25, or the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, verse 25, and just see what the Lord did, what is recorded about the shambles. That's something that, because pretty much, I guess, you know, I don't know what all it was. That was a shambles. That's where they, as a meat market, really, what that was. And where they sold meat, I guess, of all kinds. I don't know how many different varieties that they sold there, but you could eat it. At least in some part, meat was offered idols, and you could, I guess, you could eat it at your own risk, I guess. They had said also that some of the descendants of the original settlers still formed a high society in Corinth when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, to the Christians there. A number of Roman officials were also there to run the government. Large numbers of native Greek and were among the citizens, and many foreigners had come there to live. The Jews had at least one synagogue there. And Paul, he preached in that synagogue when he first went there. And as I made mention of it just a little earlier there, that they said that archaeologists had found the lintel that went over the, assuming it went over the door part, entrance part, that had inscribed the inscription on it, the synagogue of the Hebrews. So that's really something. Archaeologists, I think, are doing a good work. I'd love to read after them, those people, because the finds and things of this nature really proves that the Bible is true. All right, Paul, companions are with him, at least two at this time, and they was Aquila and Priscilla. They were Paul's companions. They were husband and wife, and they had also had been up in Athens, and they came down there to be, I guess, with Paul there in Corinth, and they had the same profession, really, as Paul. They were tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul, you remember, he was a tent maker also. And so that was a great relief, I'm sure, to Paul to have someone that that thought the same way he thought. Of course, Priscilla and Aquila, they were members of the church, and you remember. And that would be a great blessing to have someone that would be good. Close like that, that we could associate with. I know it would be comforting to any of us that would go into a strange place, per se, and start teaching and preaching, maybe, or doing any kind of work, really. I know when I was in service, it was a joy to come up with somebody that you had been with or something, but most of the time, you was by yourself. You knew no one. And, of course, you would get to know someone as time went along. But it sure makes it a lot easier if you can have a friend or a companion to to help you along the way. And I'm sure Paul felt that way. In fact, Paul got discouraged here, and the Lord made appearance to him in the vision and tell him there's things you're going to be with him, there's things going to be all right. And you have something there you want to say? And that I said had a lot of different temples there too, really, in Corinth. And it is said that they had one temple was stationed, history does, that these priestess women, there's a thousand, record said there was a thousand of them, working in this temple here of course, be very crude, of course, and these goddess really was, they call them goddess, the heathen goddess of fertility. And they said these women, of course, there was a thousand working at this location in this temple, in around this temple. And they said each one of them was a prostitute. So you can figure how bad a situation this was at that time. In our modern time, though, that's terrible. But there's all kinds of religious groups in that city of half a million people. And it said, too, I mentioned that a moment ago, that archaeologists have dug up these flutes and things that evidently they had used in performing these rituals and things of this nature, that they had dug these up and have found them, and they have established that to be with this group of people. And it said there, the 18th chapter of the book of Acts goes right along with this, and tells about the work there and how the Lord, comforted him and et cetera. Of course, it's kind of, if you look at a map, it kind of comes down like that, moves back west. Corinth is sitting right there in that little nook, if you will. Then it goes back out and back down. And as I said, that the Aegean Sea is to the right or to the east, and the Mediterranean Sea is to the west. And they have other ports there. I made mention a while ago. Not all ships came in there, but they came in that location. And it said, too often, where there is much wealth and many people, there is immoral, degraded living. This was true in Corinth. We know it was when people wanted to say, live it up. They said, like the Corinthians, and I've heard that before too, really, and I'm sure you have. And they said that stage plays and everything that they would, in the performance, that the majority of the people were heavily drinking. So that's pretty much even goes along with large places, metropolitan places today. All kinds, not all kinds, or there were all kinds too, but there was different nationalities there, infiltrated in that place. Paul was about 52 years old when he went there. He was a young man, and was preached there for a year and a half at this time. And he and Priscilla and Aquila, they went to Ephesus, and Priscilla and Aquila went with him. Paul baptized several people, Paul didn't himself, but I think that Paul said he baptized Stephanus, I believe, and maybe a couple others, but most other people did the baptizing, Paul did most of the preaching. But he did baptize three people. And I think that Timothy and Silas, I believe, it came down to, if my memory serves correct in reading about this, because they had been up to Thessalonica and came down there. We we don't know really, according to history here, we don't know how many congregations of Christians were finally begun as a result of Paul's work in Corinth. Of course, after Paul left, people began to slip back into their old way of living. And Paul was really concerned about that. In fact, they sent letters to Paul, to Ephesus, where Paul was at that time, and told him about the situation that's what was beginning to happen there after he left, that people were began to go back into their old ways. Actually, the book of 1 Corinthians is really divided up into two major thoughts, I guess you would say. One of them is an outline of that. It'd be a correction, the first part, and that'd be from chapter 1 through chapter 6. And the second part is beginning in with chapter 7, continuing on through the 16th chapter. All right, chapters in, if we look at kind of outlining of the from chapter 1 to chapter 6, from 7 through 16, we could say that the first six chapters was more or less mentioned as corrections, if you will, corrections. And the 7 through 16 would fall in the category of teaching. And the first thing that in chapter 1 that was talked about there, actually in chapter 1, verse 10, first thing it was talked about they had a problem with was divisions. Divisions. That's the first thing Paul dealt with there. Actually, we're dealing with about 12, 14 things simultaneously, but that's one of the things here in chapter 1 was divisions. And the next thing then, in chapter 5, is dealing with immorality, where people was doing all kinds of things, I guess from dress on up, I guess you would say. In chapter 6 then, he's dealing with lawsuits. Lawsuits. And you can read about this all along as you go along. Yes, the lawsuits of brothers against brothers. Like I said, some of you brethren, you know, have fallen back into their old way of living after they become a Christian. And Paul was really concerned about that. But I think you can say that the outline of that, easy way to remember that, is from chapter 1 to chapter 6. It's, we could list that as corrections or corrective. And he's dealt in that 1 through 6, he dealt with divisions, and he dealt with immorality, and also he dealt with lawsuits. And from 7 through 16 is a way that is an easy way for me to remember, and he used a little code letter, if you will. And that letter would be M. And you find that M as, I guess you could say, a listing all along through from 7 through 16. So, you know, for an example, chapter 7, what is it dealing with? It's dealing with marriage. So that's your M right there, dealing with marriage. in chapter 8, we could use another M that starts with M, and that's what Philip was talking about a while ago. It's meats offered to idols. That's in chapter 8. And that runs through two chapters along, 8 through 10. Chapter 11, we use another M word there also, and that is when they met, or you might say, in meetings and things of this nature. That's read about that in chapter 11. And the M word in, that'd be chapter 12. We can use the M word there also. That describes spiritual gifts, or we could say spiritual gifts are miracles. And that M will fit that also there. It's miracles. And read about that, of course, in about three different chapters, I think, about speaking in tongues and et cetera, and gifts, special gifts, and things of this nature. And that would go under miracles. Chapter 13 also would fit in that category, speaking about tongues, of course. Chapter 15, we can use another M word at this location also. In chapter 15, it's talking about resurrection. And that is a mystery, if you will. Paul says, show me a mystery. You know, it's a mystery. It's talking about the resurrection. Some of this little tricks like this helps remember a lot of that. And I think it's kind of help remember there. That's just a simple outline and all that. It's broken down into two different categories. It's correction and teaching. And the correction part is chapters 1 through 6. And the teaching is 7 through 16. And the last one, chapter 16, you know what that would be? It would be money. It's talking about giving. I appreciate the kind attention and your help.